In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, is a familiar passage that we have shared, or you have heard before. Isaiah chapter 9.
Amen.
Look that you would go there with me. Let's see. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to go down to verse number 6. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. In this second Sunday of Advent, I want to talk to us from the subject, forever peace. Forever peace. In a day and time where peace is hard to find, I want to suggest to us today that we as believers, children of the Most High God, can forever have peace. In the midst of the storms and the many crazy things that are going on in our lives, our emotions go up and down. We find stuff at work, at school, at home, and yet peace is available forever.
Amen.
The writer says that this is the reason that he's come.
All right. All right.
He has been born. He has been given that peace would reign. Yeah, if you read from the beginning of chapter 9, Isaiah, you will find that there's a whole lot of craziness that has been going on. I was talking to my niece, Elisha, and yesterday she was saying to me, she said, it doesn't even seem like Christmas because all of the wars and all of the other crazy stuff going on. It just don't seem like Christmas. And all of that said to me that there was an absence of peace within her spirit, within her being. And I have to declare unto her, like I'm declaring unto you, that peace is yours forever.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God. Yeah, there it is. There is a need for peace. By the time we get to verse number 6, Isaiah has been laying it out plain for us that the craziness that that has been experienced, there have been some false prophets that have been coming, and they've been saying that they don't need to listen to Isaiah. They don't need to listen to Jeremiah. They just need to say peace, peace, but there is no peace. Because what they're offering will not bring peace, just destruction. And so here it is. By the time we get to verse number 6, the scripture declares, "For unto us, because of all the craziness, because of the foolishness, the mess, the stress, and the strain, because all that, unto us is born, unto us a son is given." He said, it's given to us. "The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called." Reverend, I'm dealing with a whole lot of craziness right now. You probably wouldn't understand what I'm going through. Matter of fact, I can't even really explain it myself. Can I say to you that peace is yours forever?
Amen.
But you don't really understand how I can't sleep at night. I'm walking the floor and in my head some stuff is going around that I can't even control. And I say to you that peace belongs to you forever. But Reverend, I'm crying in the midnight hour. Seems like the walls are coming in on me. Don't really know what to do. And my response even to you is that peace belongs to you forever. Well, come on, tell me. Tell me how I can get peace. The word declares that you get peace because a child is born, a son is given, and that child, that son's name brings peace. First of all, you get peace because he says that his name is Wonderful Counselor. Now, there's so many, most of the translations, they just say Wonderful Counselor. It's the King James that breaks up wonderful with a comma and counselor. But it's peace that comes when this great counselor begins to speak to your spirit. What a wonder it is. We have a wonderful counselor. And I know how it happens sometimes. You get to the place and you just tell, "I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But if you ever want to talk about it, glory to the Lamb of God. If you would just talk to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I see him standing there waiting. Can we talk? Because you, when you do get ready to talk, you talk to everybody but me. Can we talk? And the Lord trying to bring somebody in this morning because we refuse to talk. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. He's telling me, can we talk? I realize now I got to go down from this place and have a conversation with the Lord. I need to do more listening than talking because he needs to pour into me. And that's what counselors do. They begin, after they've gotten your story, begin to try to help you to see clearly or see differently the situation that you find yourself in. They don't change the situation. They don't change your problem. They don't change the folk at your house. They change, help you to see differently the way you've been seeing it, the way you have received it. And Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Anybody want to talk this morning? I wish you would talk to the Lord this morning and let him talk back to you that you can get the peace that you need. Peace comes in good counsel. He says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And so since I get peace from my counselor, then it says, the mighty God. Mm-hmm. Reverend, how is the mighty God going to bring me peace? Mighty God really could be relayed as warrior God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That he might defend me. Because over and over in the Bible, you'll hear it in several places. Deuteronomy 10, 17, Psalm 24, 8, Exodus 15 and 3, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25 talks about this mighty God. That he is there to defend you, to fight for you. He is a mighty God. And when, oh my God, when the enemy comes at me like a flood, oh my God, all I know is that I have a mighty God who will defend me, who will fight for me. I don't have to wait or build up no muscles. He fights for me. So if I know I got somebody to whip up on them for me, I got peace. I can rest in the fact that I serve a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty good God. And peace comes to those who embrace this mighty God. He's yours. If you would just ask him to come into your life, if you would just receive him for yourself, he is yours. A mighty God. Is there any other thing that I can lean on for peace? Well, the text keeps reading the name. The Everlasting Father. In the Old Testament, very seldom, it doesn't show up much at all. God is not referred to as Father. He's not referred to in this kind of way. But here, when it says the Everlasting Father, it's like an eternal Father. I said it earlier, he won't leave you. He's not going to leave you, and he won't leave you alone. In the New Testament, it shows up all the time. We talk about Father this and Father that, or Abba Father. It usually comes together, that word Abba, you know, and some of our other friends, our other people outside of us, really, you hear them when they be praying, and, you know, it might get on your nerves because sometimes it would get on mine. They be talking about, hey, Daddy God. You know, they just talk to him just like that. That's their daddy, Papa God. That's how they relate to him, because Abba speaks to the intimacy of relationship that we have with the Father. Yeah, it connects you to the Father. But that piece, when you add the Father, you got Abba, which gives me intimacy. But when I get Father added to that, it's as if I've got intimacy that joins together with the Father who takes good care of me. You know, I got the loving, caring, leaning kind of Father. I can lean on his shoulder. I can just stay there with him. He embraces me and he keeps me. But then I got the Father that'll beat you down if you mess with me. Yeah, so you got to have. He says, Abba, Father, you got both of them. You got the loving Father and you got the one that will defend you. Oh, you got an everlasting Father. And if your Father is everlasting, then you got peace. You got love everlasting. You got protection everlasting. You got provision everlasting. All because you got your Father. When I remember a long time ago, I was younger. My father used to sing this song And he says, I cannot make a world and hold it in my hands. I cannot make the lightning flash across the land. I cannot take a piece of clay and mold it into man. But I have a Father. I have a Father who can. He says, I cannot make a cloud and ascend it in the sky. I cannot love humanity so much that I would die. I cannot even name the stars or count the many grains of sand. Oh, but I have a Father. I have a Father who can. The refrain goes like this. He sits high and looks low. He guides my feet wherever I go. And when I don't understand, I have a Father who can. I have a Father who can. So I get peace knowing that I have an everlasting Father who is always there to care for me. When I can't raise my head, he'll raise it for me. When I'm feeling low, he builds me up on the inside. When I can't understand, I have Father who can, and he gives me peace. And sometimes I cry in the midst of my peace. Ooh, glory to the Lamb of God. But there is one more name. He says, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And then he spells it out here. Verse number 7 is, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He says there is the Prince of Peace, and he starts talking about government and peace. That here comes justice and peace wrapped together. In the text, he says that when you speak of the Prince of Peace, that there is some justice that has to happen. There's some ruling that goes on. You've got somebody in a great authority who belongs to you with peace. And so it's some overpowering and establishing of peace that comes to us. And that's, he's saying that there is some overpowering, some establishing of peace in a few areas. One is in spiritual oppression. Oh, if you'd have been reading earlier, you'll find out that there was some oppression. The people were coming down on them. You might have a great battle that you're having to fight. And sometimes the battle that we're fighting is not from without. Oh, my God. It's from within. And whatever the oppression that comes on your life, please know and understand that the Prince of Peace is overpowering that. It's establishing peace for you, for the oppression that has you bound. God, I thank you today for the Prince of Peace, because he just doesn't come with peace. He speaks peace because he is peace, and the authority that is on him, he gives to us. Not just on spiritual oppression, but he gives us peace over sin. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that this Son of God, we get peace because he's the Son of God. We get peace because of his grace. But because Jesus conquered sin on the cross, that gives us peace. We don't always embrace it so readily. The very fact that we are sinners, as saved by his grace, that fact that he has given us peace in God, even in our sin boggles my mind, because he allowed himself to die so you could remain in peace. Yes. That you can get some joy in the midst of your mess. That your sins can be washed away because of the blood of Jesus. Ooh, God, overpowering and establishing peace over spiritual oppression and over sin and over death. He's calling for peace even over death. I'm seeing him hanging on the cross there. And there is some crying out to the Father or to God, thinking as though God had left him, and it seemed like life was leaving him and he was having some issues at the moment. But as he remained on the cross and began to see things a little differently, as he continued to groan, as he continued to be in agony, that the Father allowed him to know somewhere on the inside that he was still with him, because he raised up after a while and says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when humanity comes under the rule of Christ and we begin to walk in his counsel, peace will rest forever. That's how you're going to get peace to be forever. When you submit yourself completely to the Lordship of Christ and walk in his counsel, that said, do what he said do. then there will be, you'll have peace forever. Now listen, you can't just be half in and half out. You know, you can't love him today and not love him tomorrow. And then you won't wonder, Lord, why Jesus, why so much bad? Why am I going to? What I'm going to? It's because if we've been in and out with him so much, he waiting for you to come on back in. Come on back in and rest in his peace. Christ reigns. He reigns with limitless influence and creative peace. Look at him reigning. He's causing peace to come with no end. He's the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. It was on a hill called Calvary that Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Reverend, you're trying to tell me that the Prince of Peace had to die. The Prince of Peace died. But Reverend, he the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace died. You say that peace died? Yes, I am. Peace died that peace might remain. He died so peace would remain with you, in you, forever. Forever peace. God, I thank you. I thank him for him dying, that peace would remain with us. But the Father increased our peace when he raised him on that third day morning. Because he gave him all power in heaven and in earth. Put it in his hand. And he declares he wants to give it to you. Now, if you know like I know, if you got power, you got peace. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting here. If you got power, receive the power of God. Receive the peace of God. And walk in that peace. That victory belongs to God.